Hello, and welcome to A Fearless Marriage, your source for the latest tips and advice to build a happy, successful marriage. I am Leslie Dorries, and I'm your host. Today, we're continuing the series, 10 Resolutions to Make Your Marriage Better This Year. This series is my way to support you in your efforts to improve your marriage. It is my sincere wish for each of you to have a healthy, fulfilling relationship. By tackling one resolution a month, you will have an action plan to bring about the positive change in your marriage that you desire. Shortly after I opened my private practice, a couple came in for their first session. The woman strode into my office with her sleeping six-week-old baby strapped into his carrier. Pretty much before I could even ask about what brought them in, she declared, "Don't tell me I have to spend less time with my baby." I saw the rejected look on her husband's face and knew exactly what the trouble was. It also made me want to change the title of Dave Barry's 1984 book from Babies and Other Hazards of Sex to Babies and Other Hazards to Sex. This month's resolution, Be Intimate, addresses one of the biggest reasons couples get married, as well as one of the fundamental reasons for couples growing apart. I have waited to address this important aspect of healthy relationships to give you time to reconnect with your partner and feel ready to tackle this key concept. Merriam-Webster defines intimacy as 1, the state of being intimate, and 2, something of a personal or private nature. It defines intimate as A, intrinsic or essential, B, belonging to or characterizing one's deepest nature, and 2, marked by very close association, contact, or familiarity. Note, it doesn't say anything about sex. That's because sex, a form of physical intimacy, is just one aspect of intimacy. Though, I agree it is the one talked about the most in reference to marriage, and I will also be talking about it today. But real intimacy is about more than sex. In fact, you can have great sex with a stranger that doesn't require any intimacy at all. Intimacy is what shifts it from just having sex to making love. The latter requires a deeper connection, which is what true intimacy provides. It is also what lies at the heart of the concept of having a soulmate. The idea of connecting with another person mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, as well as physically. What most people don't recognize is that the power to create this almost universally sought-after relationship lies within them. That's because intimacy is about sharing you. The more you are willing to share, the more intimate you and your partner will be. Okay, let's back up a minute and talk about what I mean by the other aspects of intimacy besides physical intimacy. Mental or intellectual intimacy involves sharing the way you interpret the world in a cognitive way. What led you to the job or career you have? Being in sales versus teaching or being a mechanic? It's about the kind of books, movies, television programs, or websites you like. It's about the interests and hobbies you have. What your cognitive strengths are. I frequently will tell my clients when they talk about how different they are is thank goodness we're different, because the way I view the world, I don't think the way a computer thinks. I don't think 0-1. So I tell my clients that if it were left up to me, we'd all be communicating by smoke signals. So that's just one example of what I'm talking about. Another one is I was having a conversation with my son one day. And he's very scientific, very mathematically oriented. He understands physics at a level that I will never get. And we were having a conversation, and he said to me, he goes, "Mom, I just don't understand people who don't think like me." And I kind of let that go, but I think the next day I said to him, I said, "Yesterday when you made that comment, were you making an observation or a judgment?" And he went, no, I was just making an observation. He just couldn't quite comprehend how somebody else viewed the world when it was quite different from the way he viewed it. So these are the kinds of things that you would be talking about if you were having intellectual or mental intimacy. Spiritual intimacy involves sharing your philosophy of life. If you follow a particular religion, sharing what it brings you in terms of comfort, guidance, and structure would be part of this. But this type of intimacy isn't solely about religion. It's more about the tenets that shape how you live your life. Your views about honesty, monogamy, society, what you want to impart to your children, how you want to be remembered, what makes you feel like a success, and so on. Connecting in this realm is about expressing your beliefs, values, and morals. Emotional intimacy is very much like a bridge that connects mental and spiritual intimacy. It's about our primal feelings. What makes you feel loved and cared for? What makes you feel rejected, scared, or confused? It's about how you feel impacted by the world, the personal impact that factual events have on you. It isn't just that you were given an award for outstanding performance at work, but how you feel about it. Do you feel proud, vindicated, embarrassed? I have a friend who received a wonderful award. They were doing a huge ceremony around her, and she felt terrible. She didn't think she deserved it. She was humble. She thought it should be given to the whole group, not to mention the fact she didn't like being the center of attention. So everybody else is coming up and congratulating her, and she's just wishing she could run and hide. So it's that kind of thing that I'm talking about. It's about how you sometimes feel as a parent if your child falls and hurts themselves, or the disappointment your mother feels when you tell her you aren't coming for Christmas. So all of these things are about how you feel about things, not just the things themselves. Being intimate takes time. You rarely will share on this deep of a level with someone you just met. That's because it also takes a willingness to be vulnerable. This is scary because you may not be sure how the other person will react, even somebody that you've lived with and loved for many, many years. Will they accept you or will they reject you? It's a risky dance that needs to be performed with great care and understanding. Physical intimacy is often where the impact of success or failure in the other types of intimacy play out. This is because being physical, hugging, kissing, having sex, is an expected part of a romantic relationship. What goes on in the bedroom often is a barometer of the overall health of the relationship. It's sort of like the canary in the coal mine. One of the challenges is that it is possible to engage physically with your partner without actually connecting intimately with them. Unfortunately, many relationships end up in this pattern. Sex ends up as a battleground instead of an expression of love and caring. There are a couple of reasons for this, that if you and your partner can understand, you can avoid this unproductive result. The first is what I call the cosmic joke. This is the difference between men and women as it comes to the actual physical act of sex. Men often need the physical connection, that actual physical release, in order to feel emotionally connected to their partner. Women need to feel emotionally connected in order to open themselves up to the physical act. Now, being a woman, I understood the woman side of it. This finds its base in the fact that women can get pregnant, and so we have to be careful about who we are physically intimate with. Now, this is a biological drive back before there was birth control and the way that we were able to control it. So this is just something inherent in ourselves. What I didn't understand was the male side of this until I was at a conference a few years ago and the presenter was talking about the release of oxytocin, which is the bonding hormone. It's the hormone that's released when mothers hold their babies, when they breastfeed their babies. Women have access to oxytocin much more easily than men do. Men can access oxytocin at the point of orgasm, or when they have full body contact physical hug that lasts at least 30 seconds. So that's what I call the cosmic joke is. I said, who designed this system to make it this way? But in reality, if each of you are able to take this leap of faith, knowing that if I just give a little bit, and trust, then I will get what I need. Then this is how you get past this particular challenge. Unfortunately, there's a related gender difference challenge at play as well. And again, it's biologically based. Men are often more easily aroused than women. And they think about sex, or they see a leg or a butt or a breast and that they find attractive, and they are raring to go. Women in general take a bit more warming up. We have to get our heads in the game, so to speak. So if she isn't there, if a woman isn't there and a hand suddenly appears in a place she isn't expecting it, it won't be received well. This is why foreplay is so important. And let me tell you, it's not just physical foreplay. Many, many years ago, there was an article in Parade magazine. And the gist of the article was, for men, how to get more sex. And my husband was reading this, and all of a sudden, he just burst out laughing, practically rolling on the floor. And I said, what is so funny? So he handed me the article, and basically what it said was, men, if you want more sex, do the dishes. Basically, the gist was, take something off of your wife's plate. I also was listening to a podcast, I can't remember where it was, where the person was saying, it was a man, and he was telling other men that foreplay begins when your last orgasm ends, meaning that if you want to have more sex in your life, you need to be doing things that will get your partner's mind there. Now, ladies, it's not just the man's job. You too have the responsibility of getting yourself mentally there as well. Your role as a lover is important to your marriage. Several years ago, a couple of friends and I were at a conference, and this was back when we were all in school and we didn't have any money. So four of us ladies were sharing a hotel room. And we got onto the topic of sex. Three of us were married and one was in a relationship at the time. And two of us said that if the answer wasn't a definite no to sex with our husbands, then it would be a yes. Because we all have the right to say no when we're really not in the mood. But the idea was, if we say yes to our husbands, it's a gift to them. It's something that they would enjoy. And frequently, we would get started, and suddenly we were having a good time too. So it wasn't, we were able to get into the mood once we had made the decision. And that's an uncommon fact about women, is that sometimes they don't follow quite the standard desire, arousal, and orgasm. Sometimes we need the arousal to then feel the desire. And so sometimes this is also a reason for the disconnect. But hopefully your relationship is now in a place where talk of intimacy isn't too scary. If you have been following the past resolutions, it should be. As I said, being intimate with another takes time. It also takes intention. The intention to be together with your partner in a way that encourages you to share who you are with each other. One of the safest places to start is back with that mental or intellectual intimacy. So go back to that section and listen to the definition again if you need to. Be willing to talk about how you think about things, but also ask open questions of your partner. What about this new job opportunity interests you the most? Or what household chore do you really dislike and why? Be watchful for any attempt on your part to persuade or judge. Intimacy requires the safety of acceptance. It isn't about agreeing or disagreeing, but about learning. Spiritual intimacy takes place as you run across news events or maybe events that are occurring with family or friends. An illness, a child heading off to college, etc. Again, the emphasis on curiosity about your partner is key. If you're having emotional reactions to the conversation, take some time to figure out what that's about for you. Continue with emotional and physical intimacy as well. Pay attention to what's working and where you're challenged. It's natural to want to shut down or pull back if you don't feel safe. It's okay to take it slow. Rome wasn't built in a day, but it did eventually happen because someone kept working on it every day. Let me know how it's going. Share your success stories or challenges by clicking on the link below. I want to thank you for joining me today and letting me help you get your marriage to a great place. If you think someone you know could benefit from this information, send them a link or share it on your social networking sites. Until next time, I'm Leslie Dorries, helping you resolve to have a fearless marriage.